Christ. This week, we have witnessed the declaration of a national emergency in an effort to stop the entrance of illegal immigrants and drugs into this United States of America. Just as quickly, we have seen a backlash from congressmen on both sides of the aisle declaring a breach of the constitutional authority granted to the president. Reporters decry that this is a history-altering event, and saints and sinners alike are fixated on every action and every word of this president. But in a time such as this, when people will not endure sound doctrine, in a time when people have turned their ears from the truth to fables, we, the people of God, should not be fixated on Washington, D.C. We should be fixing our eyes on none other than the one who controls all of history. For he is still good, and he is working things out for our good. The background for our text this morning, the Israelites have been delivered from 430 years of oppression by the Egyptians. They've crossed the Red Sea, parted by the wind of our Lord. They've drank sweet water from a bitter stream. They've murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness of sin. They've eaten manna and quail from heaven. They've murmured against the Lord at Massa and Meribah and received water there from a rock. They've defeated Amalek in battle. And they are now camped at the foot of Mount Sinai after having received due punishment from worshiping a golden calf fashioned by Aaron. Our text this morning invites us into a conversation between God and Moses. Moses is acting as an intercessor on behalf of the children of Israel. He stands and he pleads with God to not send he and the Israelites into the promised land without his presence. For he says that if he's found grace in God's sight, God surely should not send him, but should show him the way. And one of Moses's basis for this theory is that it is only the Lord's presence that separates the Israelites from the rest of the people. And that is still true today, friendship. It is the perpetual presence of the Holy Ghost that separates us from everybody else in this world. God's word tells us that, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. God hears Moses' plea, and he agrees to go. For indeed, Moses has found favor and grace in his sight, and he knows Moses by name.
All right.
And Moses, because he knew that God loved him, he decided he'd go a step further. He says, show me your glory. And God, he hears the petition of Moses. He agrees to show him all of his goodness. to let it pass by Moses. God further decrees in his sovereign authority that's independent of human influence that he shows mercy to whomever he chooses to show mercy. For that's within his sovereign right. So Moses prepares himself. He goes and he gets the stone. And he goes back up Mount Sinai with the tablets of stone. And God hides him in the cleft of a rock. Because no man can look upon the face of God and live. And the scripture says that God comes by. And when he comes by, God speaks his name first. For his name is majestic. He says, Yahweh, I am that I am. It is he who appeared to Moses in the burning bush. It is he who was, is, and always will be. It is he who is eternal. It is the self-existent one. It is he who is Elohim, the supreme power, strong and mighty. God says his name. Psalms 135:3 declares that we should sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant. Next, God says, he says, merciful. To be merciful is to show pity, compassion, love on one that's in distress. In case you don't know, it's us that were in distress. It's to treat an offender better than he deserves. It assumes that the offender needs something. And it also assumes that the person that's going to give it has adequate enough resources to give what the offender needs. For Psalms 105 tells us, for the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. It will never run out. For we always need the Lord. Mercy. Next, the Lord said, gracious. Gracious is God's unmerited favor. It's the gifts that he so freely bestows on each and every one of us. For you do know that every good and every perfect gift is from above. We also know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. The next thing the Lord said was long suffering. Long-suffering means that he's slow to anger. It means that it delays punishment of the wicked and rebellious people. Because we know that God's divine justice would have wiped all of us out a long time ago. But his word tells us that he's long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Next, God said that he was abundant. That means he has lots of it. He was abundant. He's abundant in goodness. That speaks to the upright and righteous character of God. For he is the source of goodness. Mark 10 and 18 declares that there is none good but one, that is God. You see, we cannot know goodness except that we have a right relationship with God and do his will. Not only is God good, but he causes all things to work together for the good, for the called. He next said that he was abundant in truth. He's true to fact. He cannot lie. He's irrefutable. That means that it's impossible to prove God wrong. Nor can we deny who he is. For his record speaks for itself. He is faithful, he is dependable, and we can count on him. Scriptures tell us that God is not a man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it? And shall he not what? Make it good. We can count on the word of God. God stopped to show Moses his glory so that he could know him more intimately. That's our charge, church, to know God more intimately. Because the more we know him, the more we can look in the mirror and say, God, I got a long way to go. Help me, Lord, to be more like you. Moses, God passed by. And then Moses responded. Moses' response was to make haste and to bow his head to the earth in worship. That should be our response to the sovereign God of this universe. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. He who was, who is, he who will be, he who sits high and he looks low, he who searches our hearts, for when we see God and who he is, we recognize our human limitations. We recognize our sinfulness. We know that we are the sinners in need of a Savior. And it is while we were yet sinners that Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, He willingly chose to make himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a servant, and he made himself in the likeness of a man. And he humbled himself, and he walked up Via Dolorosa to a hill called Calvary. And there he became obedient unto death, even to death on a cross. And he stayed there on the cross. And there he hung his head in the lock of his shoulders. And he died for you, and he died for me. And he was taken down and placed into a borrowed tomb. And he stayed there all Friday night. He stayed there all Saturday night. But early Sunday morning, he rose. I'm telling you, he rose with all power in his hand. And now he sits on the right hand of our Lord. And he stays there and he sits. And he makes intercession on behalf of us. But I'm so thankful this morning that he extended his great grace to me one day. And he saved me. For I know that I was on my way to a burning hell. And it's something about the Lord this morning.
Glory, 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 glory.
That we ought to all be able to say that the Lord is good. He brought us all the way. It's not enough to think back and say, well, what he did for the Israelites. We ought to all have a testimony about what he's done for you. And for me, it's not enough to be able to say he's good. We've got to know that he's good. We sit here.
Thank you.
And we know that God is good. But there's someone this morning that's here. And they're saying to themselves, well, I can wait until next Sunday. Or week after next. Or I'm trying to get myself right. But the problem with that is this. We don't know the heart of God, nor the mind of God. Don't wait too late. Because the time to come is while the blood is still running warm in your veins. Don't put it off for tomorrow. But tomorrow might just pass you by. And if you don't do it before you close your eyes, you're on the way to a burning hell. But why? Why should you go to hell when God is making an opportunity available to you today to accept as Lord and Savior?
Thank you.
Real simple song. It's called Lord.